Good evening. Tavuz on the Zalif. So we're going to dive back into the Tosfos of Masechta Pekek in a second. Just before we do, just one liquid I wanted to just mention, and that is the two brises we had. They talked about a case of putting a bed, right? One says you can straighten out the bed. The other one says you can't. The one which says you can't, which Be'ez Hashem we're going to still deal with, it talks about putting the bed there and spreading a sheet on it in order that the sun won't go over the mace or the ochen. That will speak Be'ez Hashem more about. But the first brisa, which says you're not allowed to put the mitzvah up, lifros alehol sodin, to spread a sheet over it, what's the sheet got to do with it? It doesn't say anything about putting it because of a mace or anything like that. Why would you be putting a sheet there? So I just saw before, I was looking at the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says, maybe other Rishonim say as well, if we're talking about a bed which has strung with
four-poster bed.
But I'm talking about but it's got a like springs underneath, whatever you call it. So in other words, there is
slats.
Yeah, I suppose you call it slats. I mean, in times when I was with rope, they used to put rope there. But in other words, that sort of idea. Then the reason why we're talking about putting a sheet on there is just Urcha de Milsa. It's normal that you'd want to block out the gaps, even though halachically it's really a good mechitza, lovot or whatever. But if we're talking about a frame of a bed and there's nothing there, then the reason why he's putting the sheet there is actually in order to complete the mechitza. Yeah, just the Ritzvah. It's interesting, he brings that after quoting Rashi, who says that even though the person, I think he quotes Rashi, about that doesn't look like he's doing it for that purpose, it looks like he's just trying to clear space in the sukkah. He says, what are you doing putting the sheet there? And he brings Rashi, and then after that, that which says, Lipros Alehol Sodin, if it's not a mitzvah sheish bo chavodim, that's got ropes there, then Urcha de Milsa Okat is just normal Kadesh taste, Stuma the Gamma, in order that it's completely blocked up. Because otherwise it would be a mechitza anyway. And if it's a mitzvah sheish bo chavodim, then without the sheet, it wouldn't be, the bed bechlal wouldn't be a mechitza there. So I'm not sure how he's trying to square that with Rashi, because surely putting the sheet there, that in itself makes it look a bit dodgy. Okay, fine. Back to this place. We've seen Shittas Rashi. The Rashi learns that when we talk about this Pekat Chaloin, this window that you're stopping up on Shabbos, Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether you're allowed to stop it up or not. It actually just occurred to me, I'm just remembering now. I'll give you another possible application is Pekat Chaloin. If a person on Shabbos plugs in a machine, is that a problem with Baino or not? You take an electrical machine, you've got, let's say, one of these portable air conditioners, so you decide to plug it in. What malacha is there in plugging in a...
Nothing, never
seen
work.
Correct. Plugging in and making it work, obviously, and then it will work.
Switching it on.
Yeah. The Aish is not, unless in a air conditioner, is there any, I mean, I know the old ones, they did have
the old bulb that this be Aish, now it's not. And the whole thing doesn't go under the old bulb,
it's to warm up.
Correct, so you used to have the water dripping, you don't have that in a new one.
They don't have that.
Right, there's no element, there shouldn't be any element there.
I'm talking about the circuit, the closing circuit.
That's not Aish. It could be either Baina, that's the Chazon Ish Shitta. Another shitter is? Is what? Meilid. Right. The Meilid is, I think, Rabbi Yitzchok Bloiser, and that's what the Rav Shlomo Zalman was quite adamant about. That if it's anything, it will be Meilid. The Kvahir is okay. I don't think he was even convinced about that, but that was what is accepted. The Chazon Ish was a chiddush of the Chazon Ish, although everyone, is Kimat. I think I found one other who said it like that. But it's come out of the Chiddush of the Chazon Ish, and therefore, although it's often quoted, but if you actually look around, you'll find the vast, vast majority do not hold like the Chazon Ish. But out of respect for the Chazon Ish, so we are generally speaking, we try to be Chishish for the Chazon Ish, but the Mokum Tzorech, for example, for a Chayla, is that they're not Chishish for the Chazon Ish. We don't, because according to the Chazon Ish, you could be dealing with an Issa Deraisa potentially. Moed is an Issa Derabon.
What does the Chazon Ish say?
Chazon Ish says Boina.
He says
Boina. Yeah, you're building a circuit. So there's a lot of back and forth. Is it because it's is that Boina or is that just using the thing? If you put a lid onto a kli, is that Boina?
Why does the Rabban ask on a plug?
Oh, so now I had a reason why I was coming to that.
Yeah, it would be that
space. So why did I pick on a plug? Because a plug arguably is worse. Arguably, right? Why? Because over here, there's two physical parts. Even Rav Shlomo Zalman was muskim that when you're putting together two physical parts, it's not just a circuit inside. Maybe, in some cases, maybe there's an issur bonus. So for example, I'll give you an example. If you've got, let's say, your phone, Lomel Zalman, you take out the battery and you put in a new battery. That Rav Shlomo Zalman says could be bonus.
Isn't the battery,
you
talk about Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Come out Shabbos.
But isn't it Muxa anyway?
Muxa is, I wouldn't say the least of your problems, yeah, for sure it's Muxa. But that if the issue is only Muxa, Nunu Krish Malachta the Issa, you'd be allowed to use it for a Hetzer. What we're dealing with, what I'm really asking over here is, I'm not suggesting that anyone here is going to start doing this on Shabbos. What we're dealing with over here is in a case where there is a necessity, there's a heter or whatever it is, and I'm looking to minimize chilul Shabbos. So if, for example, a person needs to call the hospital, or a person works on Hatzolah, works on all these sorts of things, but we're looking to minimize, right? Very often, but it's a chilul who lemaisa needs machinery. And I was asked recently have a little bit more understanding of something than some people when it comes to electricity. So discussing a certain machine, which was a matter for a cheder sheish b'sakon, and a chalami, but you're looking to try and minimise, because we're talking about if it's a machine which they've got to constantly having to change. Right? It's a machine they need 24 hours. It could be, for example, I don't know, an oxygen. Let's say an oxygen. I mean, it wasn't right. An oxygen tank. So if it's an oxygen tank, they need it 24 hours. So you've got a choice there. Either there is, you can have batteries. The batteries last for 3, 4 hours, 5 hours. You've got to constantly change the battery, or you have it plugged in. Well, plugging in misad echod is only one miser. On the other hand, we'll come to is it bono, is it not? But I'll come back to that. But the other thing is, with it's just from a practical point of view, the person can't move around. Now. In a lot of stuff, you say, so what? Well, it's not so what, because very often the state of mind of the person has a lot to do with the health. And if they're confined for the whole of Shabbos to the home, it's also not good for them. And so the question is, what's better? To change the battery, to put the plug in.
I think the plug is better, because we talked about Lego, didn't we? Whatever. Not, it's not the same comparison, but we said if it's not constantly going to be, it can come in, it can go in, it could go out. That's not binary. We said we can take it, you know.
So I'll tell you like this, the Rav Shlomo Zalman, because obviously this is really only negayah according to Rav Shlomo Zalman's shit. If you go with the Chazon Ish, it's all boner anyway, there's nothing to discuss, it's all boner, boner, boner. So you could say, well, it's a question of how many times you're doing boner, constantly changing the battery every 4 hours, you're doing boner every single time.
So
plugging it in is one act of boner, so that would be the better.
Or plug in a few times if you have to move around.
Oh no! So I suppose we're talking about where you got a whole massive extension, so you can move around the house. You can set that up. And again, if a person really really wants to be very thingy about it, you can start doing with time clocks and things like that. You know, that's always my response to these things. But people who are more, perhaps a little bit more realistic than me, they say it's very nice, but you can't demand. Number one, you can't demand that of the cheder. Number two, what if you miscalculate? So I said, okay, if you miscalculate, so you put it in. If it's a cheder, you're dealing with a cheder anyway. You're trying your best, and if not, it's okay.
It doesn't sound like boina to me. It doesn't feel
I'm saying, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say Hatzolah members. Hatzolah members, that's the way, it's the time in Avin Eisenberg, well, that was the advice we were giving, is you've got a time clock, because they have to constantly put it back into the charger. Come back from a call and they put it back into the charger. So again, what you do is you have the thingy on a clock, and you can play around with the things. Now for Shtetzach, if a call comes through, you don't start playing around with the thing. You just take it and straight away. If you got the few seconds, you knock it off with your elbow. If not, you grab it. So, I mean, it's not. And likewise, if it's going flat, if the battery's going flat, and you can't wait around for the thing, so okay, either you play around with things, you put it in. If you have to, you have to. The Vort said this, and that's the reason why I mention this. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that putting a plug in, right, putting a plug into a wall, despite the fact I would have possibly thought, initially I thought maybe that would be worse, is because it's Mechubel HaKarka, which is more problematic than Sabayna. That's the way I'd always remembered it. When it's Mechubel HaKarka, that is, because ultimately it's joined to the ground. Maybe that makes it worse. Lemaise, he holds there's no Issur Bayna whatsoever. It's just like Pekaka Chalon.
What?
It's like our case over here. Pekaka Chalon. What does Rashi say in Shabbos? I may even have a quote here. Sorry, let me just get a Gemara Shabbos.
Sure, it's even less than a Pekaka Chalon. You just want the gap, the whole plug. You don't want the whole.
Yeah, but what's the water for Kaka Chalon is a Shaila of Baina. Right? This is also a Shaila of Baina. You're joining up something, you're creating a connection to the wall. Why? But again, if Baina is Baina, it doesn't matter why you're doing it.
Well, we have a
custom
that
Shabbos
is very important.
Soft or soft, I'm connecting it to the wall, and all the other things where does it come in here?
Because
I'm trying to show you that Pekaka Chalon, where's it in the gate itself?
It's not, we're talking about something completely different.
No?
We were talking about it earlier, now we've moved on.
No? I just said the plug is Rav Shlomo Zalman says is Pekak.
It is interesting.
Why? See, he says, take a look at Rashi in Kuf Chaf Heyom based in Shabbos, and you'll see Rashi says over there, "U Pekak Hachalim de Mas Nisin." He says, "Meshum de Binyan Kabuahu," because it's a Binyan Kabua. U Mechziko Meisiv Ala Binyan. Therefore, it looks like you're adding on to the Binyan. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is not a binyan kavua. This is the normal ishtamshus of the kli. You plug it in and you take it out when you're finished with it. Truth is, I think it's even said that could be even better. But he says therefore it's the same heter. He says therefore it's not boner. Why is it not boner? Because that is the normal ishtamshus of it. That's his stumptious of the Kli, and therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman says when it comes to putting a plug into wood, it's not Baina. He uses our Sugyo Pekaka Chalon. That's the Makai. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman's, not there, but his Kayach. He took a Gemara. Who would have thought you could pass him based on that's the Makai? That's his Raya, that plugging something into the wood is no Belacha Baina. if I was to ask you now, because I said to you, I don't know if what you, I would have thought that changing the battery, just Porsche is more like Lego or something like that. You're not dealing with Mechubar HaKarta or anything like that. Maybe that's better. According to Rosh Hashanah and Pumfaket. Plugging in, there's no Melacha Doraisa. Whereas to change batteries, he says, could be a Melacha Doraisa. He's got a Shtaka Tzad. It's one of these classic ones that like. It's more than that. It's especially if the battery is dead. It's you're putting together two parts of a kli. That's a little bit more. That's mamash like Bernie. You're making the kli, correct? So therefore, that is more problematic. Okay. These shaylas were asked regarding. I'll give you another example. Is somebody who has a cochlear implant? That's what I'm talking about. In posting, they talk about somebody's got a cochlear implant. They can't sleep with the part. The external part, so on Shabbos they need to be able to put it back in. Now, this is not necessarily a chiddush sheyesh bo sakana, and they asked Rabbi Vadia, because I told this person to do with the shayla. I said speak to a good person to speak to would be Halperin, Rabbi Levi Halperin. They're very very good there. And as it happens, that's who Rabbi Vadia sent this person the cochlear implant to them. He said exactly this, that. Change it, as I said, if you're going to do it with the battery, do it with when you need to do it with the battery, then do it with a shinu. And that's what he said to them as well. And Rabbi Vadia said, fine. That was the bizarre. He doesn't agree, Rabbi Vadia and others do not agree that there could be even a melacha of bina with changing a battery. They're not happy to say it. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had the tzad. It's one of these, I wouldn't say conspiracy theories that you would normally call it, because in teshuvas, he definitely seems to have understood. No, you'll see what I mean, because he seems to have said that changing a battery should, these sort of things, is not brainer. However, there are those who say that that towards the end of his life he changed his mind on that one. And some people say, no, there's no clear right. I think Shmuel Shabbos Kilchos, he does bring that, he changes his mind. I think he brings it. Zicha very close time, he didn't bring it in Nishmas Avraham and things like that. They bring it. There's some people, his son also seems to take on that, of Israel Orbach. And the question is, why? Why should it be worse? Why is that worse, changing a battery? And somebody said to Rabbi Israel the following suggestion, which I'll tell you in a second, he said, absolutely, that is Peshat. And that is because it's two parts of a kli. The battery and the thing, therefore you are building, you are completing the kli. That, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, would be an act of Baina. You're just switching a thing on, the kli is already all there. That's Hishtamshus. That's Ishtamshis, that's not Bain. But where you're taking two physical parts and putting them together, that's already Ishtamshis. Now on that, like you said, so to plug into a wall, there I'm not completing the wall and I'm not completing the kli. I'm connecting the two parts together in order to draw off electricity. So on that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that's effectively that's more Ishtamshis. Now Sheinkin, if you're putting a battery in, he didn't say Vadai, but he's got a tzad to say, what we call Mechaya Amesim, because the minute you take it out, the kli doesn't work at all, and you switch out the battery, that could be a Melacha Doraisa, especially as you're doing it multiple times. So for sure, the better of the two is, according to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, according to, again, the Chazon Ish, probably be better to plug in, because you'll end up doing less Melachas. He says, well, boy. Whereas if you go with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, it would be better to plug into the wall, because then you'll never be dealing with a Melacha Doraisa. Whereas if you're changing the batteries, you can design it to Melacha Doraisa. As I said, many disagree with that. So again, we're changing the battery with all these things. We can be done with the shinui, do it with make it a bit more difficult. That also downgrades it. No, you can do it between your fingers or something like that.
Could I just ask a couple of questions, and one of which affects me, which is when you said about the implant for the person who's dead. Are we talking about changing the battery for that, or just removing the implant from the head at times where it needs to be removed?
It's essentially the same thing, because when you take it off, you're disconnecting from the battery, because effectively it's two parts of the kli. So it's essentially it's the same thing as changing the battery, but it would be the same shayla would be if you have to actually change physically start changing batteries.
And what about some of the modern devices now, whereby as the battery gets low, you don't take the old one out and put the new one in, you recharge it. But you can recharge them without actually putting a plug in. You just put the device near a recharger and the two will speak to each other and automatically know, oh, when it goes below X percentage, it will do it. So you're saying that to recharge such a device on Shabbos wouldn't be a problem?
So that's a very, very good point. The answer to that is do it before it goes dead. If the battery goes dead, then again, if the person needs the device, they need the device. It's not if it's especially kuach nefesh, but ultimately. But if a person, if it's not dead, then it's not what we call mechaya mesim. Then, like you're saying, according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, there can't be any boner. You're not putting anything together. The actual device is completely always intact. It never ever went dead. According to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, you'll never be dealing with boner. No, you'll be dealing with arguably you'll be dealing with melachis derabbanon. But melachis derabbanon, even for a nofal mishkov, somebody who's just not feeling well and has to lie in bed, even that already is melachis derabbanon through a yid is with a shinui. Again, anything which can be done with any sort of shinui, that's always better. So I suppose if you were to put it down in an unusual fashion, it doesn't have to be what we call a shinui that is super difficult. Just make it a bit more difficult, right? Left hand doesn't normally make it more difficult for this melacha. That for sure, then it's 100% it's fine.
Is there enough kamina if the patient's capable of doing it rather than that solid person?
Makes no difference. If it's mutter, anyone can do it. Again, you know, we're talking about it's not practical to start getting a goy every time, right?
No, I'm talking about
again, strictly speaking, I told this person as well, strictly speaking, even for a nofal lemishkov, right, I mean, somebody who's not feeling well, and literally it means they've fallen into bed, either their whole body is aching, or they can't function properly. It could be they're not in bed because they won't help, which will make matters worse. So for that, the halacha is, you get a goy to do a derabbanon, right? If you can't, a yid can do it with a shini. Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, we paskin, when I say we, you'll find Rav Volzner goes with it, it's with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and that is that we pass that a yid can do even a malacha d'oraisa with a shinu, if it's necessary. Even a malacha d'oraisa.
But not on a mishkan. If the case of the battery was dead and put it near to another device which can revive it,
so that is already it's that Rosh Hashanah calls it mechaya mesim. That maybe, yeah. So that already maybe it goes. Even though you're like you're saying, you're not actually fixing any physical.
See, and it's not really mechaya mesim. Yeah,
no, but he calls that mechaya mesim.
So what does he mean by that?
You see, others look at it and they say others argue with this whole thing of the battery because they say that with that, I'll tell you what they've done it to. Do you remember we had the Gemara case? If let's say a pillow, right? It's going to get to blowing up balloons as well, right? A pillow, so if the if you put the stuffing in, that's a problem on Shabbos, right? Makkah b'patish. If the stuffing falls out, you're allowed to put it back in. So they say here as well, the same thing. If it's the first time this battery is being charged up, no, I can hear. That may be a problem. But if it's just gone dead and you charge up again, how can that be mechaya mesim? What do you mean by mechaya mesim? But Rosh Hashanah Zalman does seem to, he takes on... No, the machine now is dead. It's unusable.
I understand that, but what does it mean on a high
amazing terms
regarding the machine?
Makabe Patish, probably Makabe Patish. I don't think it's Boina in that sense, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but they argue, as I said, there are many who argue with that. Yeah.
You know that Rob mentioned Dr. Shinri, but I remember Rabbi Robert, and this is slightly off tangent.
I don't take responsibility for this one.
He said if you're caught out in... to go to a toilet and they haven't got cut toilet paper, you can...
Yeah, call it abrius, sure.
Yeah, you can tear... Well,
do it with a shinny, yeah. I don't know if he says perforation or in between. Rav Avadia is zecha maker. I know that. I know he's maker.
It's maker
No, normal.
But,
You're allowed to pick stones, so
you're
allowed to do this
one. It's a color of about, maybe in between perforations, because it's covered up here, and that's what Mr. Ezra was saying, between perforations. Arguably, on perforations, could be a melacha machatah.
One second, the Gemara was talking about that you're allowed to go and collect stones.
What's the Hebrew that you said you're allowed to? Because it's
covered up here.
You were talking about the girl asking about texting. If it's a job or not on Shabbat. Because years ago we were talking about it, that he said that the girl was asking her to text on Shabbat. Is it writing or not? You were talking about it. You said the question was that being the husband or something like that.
Vaguely. I remember vaguely what you said, yeah.
Job or no work. The whole thing is so complicated.
Okay, so Ella said the point over there was the plug Rav Shlomo Zalman, he learns from the sugya Pekach HaChalayim, right? That was the so you got two applications of this malacha, even if you don't normally, we've got window thingy, what do you call it for the air conditioning unit we talked about is one application, and perhaps slightly more off the beaten track is going to Rav Shlomo Zalman putting a plug into wood. He learns that from the sugya Pekach HaChalayim. So now Rashi learns that the whole thing of the pekak, this chaloyin, is talking about in the horizontal. It's talking about in the roof. So we're talking about something like a what do you call it? Skylight, exactly. Because we're talking about an oil. And Rashi brings various rayas, a couple of rayas, I should say. I mean, well, one's a raya, and the other one he says the correct girsa is different to what we've got. For kitza, we're talking about if it would be a vertical, then there wouldn't be any issa of making an oil. So Tosus is now going to disagree with this. If you take a look at Tosus, Ve'ein Nira, it's in the middle sized lines of Dibar Matzah Pekaka Chaloin, three lines down. Yeah, the line begins with the word, at least it begins with the word Perusin. Yeah? So he says, yeah, Memdalad Omadalath, Dibar Matzah Pekaka Chaloin of Tosus, yeah, middle sized lines, three lines down. Ve'ein Nira Limko Kasforim. So Tosus, I don't like this idea of just, you know, rubbing out bits in the swan because it doesn't fit with your pshat, right? So the girsa we have in the Gemara over there in Sukkot seems quite clear. If you don't change the girsa, it does sound like there's an issa of making an oil in. It was the case with the Sefer Torah, right? The case with the Sefer Torah. So the question was, the Gemara asked, Parasu l'chatzke, the girsa we've got in the Gemara there is, what, they put up the sheets? How can you allow that? But everyone agrees you can't make an oil arai but kula b'shabbos. What's oil? I don't know. You see from that that there is a concept of making an oil even if it's just a partition, if it's a vertical partition, right? That's the rai. So Rashi has a different girsa. So Tosfos, don't change the girsa. The oids, and furthermore, my kashere, what's Rashi's problem? Or what's the Gemara's problem, I should say. Sorry, what's the Gemara's problem over there? Eiche biyum. How could they bring the sheet? The Gemara answered, no, they were already dead. What do you mean? What's the problem? Maybe they brought them by wearing them. They put the sheets around them and wore them like a, you know, like a talis, and they brought them like that. But even furthermore, the Bishmaitin Muchach, in our sugya, it's Muchach, the Minat Sad, Shayachasi Asoil. From our sugya here, what is our sugya talking about? Are we talking about a horizontal or are we talking about a vertical? Vertical, we're talking about the doven of a sukkah. So you see from this that minasad shayach asiyas oil is shayach to make an oil. The asiyas doven maisilo, because it's bringing it regarding the making of a wool maisilo. Then fourthly, the l'shem chaloin shayach b'koisel. When you talk about a chaloin, what does chaloin mean? It means in a wool. Uvegag kori le'aruba. If it's talking about a hole in the gag, in the roof, we'd call it an aruba, because it's known as it. We've got a Mishnah in Beitzah, Meshilin Peiros Derech Aruba. You're allowed to lower fruit, lower produce. You're scared it's going to rain. It's on the roof, so you're allowed to lower it on Yom Tov through the aruba. What's the aruba? It's the skylight. The Nira the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam answers. He gives a different pshat. The Minatzad Shayech Asiyas Oyel. The Avada. It is shayach making an oil even from the side. In other words, the vertical. Where the mechitza helps to be matir, to be matir in isur, choshuv atzias oil batzchila. That is considered to be making an oil to start with. Ki ahi de pirsu sodinin, like the case in Sukkah. There was no way they could carry the Sefer Torah from one place to the other. So by putting up the sodinin, that would be matir the isur of hitzot. Will be an isur derabbanan, but it would be matir the isur of carrying. So to that the Gemara says, how could you put up the sheets? So to that the Gemara answers, no, the sheets were already in place. But otherwise it would be a problem, because that's considered to be making an oil. Ula Rav, the Osar Etaltel, B'chol Gagos. Now according to Rav, going back to the Sugya, which comes later on in Sadi Dabit, where the Rav and Shmuel were sitting in the Chotzer, and the wall between what two gardens collapsed. So he said, according to Rav, Rav turned his face away because he wasn't happy with what they did putting up the sheets. According to Rav, who says it's forbidden to carry in all the gardens without the sheets, Shaykh Asiyat Ehed at the Chatzchila. So therefore, Rav turns his face away. You know why? Because by putting up the sheets, you're making an oil. Why is it making an oil? It's vertical. The teretz is because by putting up the sheets, you're now going to allow each garden to carry again. Because they become two separate gardens again. Correct? So that's an Issa of Asiyat Ehed. Yeah? Rashi had to, not wriggle out of it, but Rashi had to say, why was Rav upset? Ah, it's because they brought the sheets. How could you bring the sheets from the house? Because Rashi says, there's no issur making an oil when it's a vertical wall. Says Tosus, no. If making the vertical wall is what we call a mechita materes, it's a mechita which is matir and issur, that is considered to be making an oil. So that explains the Gemara in Sukkah. It's being matir, the carrying of the Sefer Torah. It explains why Rav is not happy on Al Masas the Daf Tadi Dalit, because over there Rav says without the mechitza between the two gardens, no one's allowed to carry. Even though when Shabbos came in, you could each carry in your own garden. Not now that it's poritz b'midua onto the other one. Nothing doing. So when you put up the sheet, it's going to be matir the carrying again, each in your own garden. So Rav says he wasn't very happy about this.
You're matir what's in the garden.
What?
You're matir for what's in the garden.
No, even for what's in your house.
No, I'm saying when it's fallen down, if you haven't...
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with, therefore, with the mechitza. What's already in the garden, let's say, talk about at the beginning of Shabbos, you can carry that anyway, even without them, when the mechitza falls down, doesn't fall down, you can pass it across gardens.
Okay.
If you leave the football in the garden before Shabbos, you can play football on Shabbos. You don't have to worry about it going over the fence.
Okay.
Right, we've already covered that one, yeah?
So now you can take it from the house.
Don't quote me as saying that it's must play football on Shabbos, right? Come on, it sounds the ball going over the fence, right? So the asiyas mechitza is copied, and that's why he got upset. Not like Rashi, he got upset because you're making a mechitza. The havi gedofin gimel shel sukkah, and therefore that's like making the third wall of a sukkah. That's also a mechitza materis, because that is what's being matir the sukkah. Without the third wall, you can't eat there, you can't drink there, you can't sleep there. Now you put up a third wall, now you've got a sukkah, that's a mechitza materes. Because we consider that to be an oil over here. So why was Shmuel, why was he not worried? But according to Shmuel, the shori the taltel, he says even when the fences have collapsed, you're allowed to continue carrying, you in your garden and me in my garden. So this mechitza is doing nothing. Maybe providing privacy. That's alright. That's considered just like being moisif on an existing oil, because I've already got a heter to carry. That would be like putting up a fourth wall of a sukkah. That's considered just to be moisif, adding on. Because even without the fence now, without the sheet, mishtari, there's no issur of carrying, it's mutter to carry. And had Shmuel, with regard to the diuk that Rashi made, because the Gemara says, now that Shmuel says you're allowed to carry in the gardens even without the sheet, so why did he put up the sheet? So that the Gemara answers for privacy. So Rashi was medayik, and if Shmuel would not have allowed you to carry in the gardens, then I wouldn't have the question, why did he put up the sheet? Of course he put up the sheet to allow you to carry. It's also, and on my, it's not also, that was Rashi's diuk. So Tosfos, like Eli said yesterday, no! Conjugate it would be problematic. The other, if Shmuel would have said it's forbidden to carry in the gardens without the sheet, Of course I would have asked even stronger. How is it permitted to do that? My question is though, but why did he put it up? Now that you're allowed to carry, so what was the point of putting it up? If you weren't allowed to carry, then my question would have been, how are you allowed to put it up? That's not what I'm asking though. Now that he's allowed to carry, so what's the point? If you look at the Lashon, it was. Why? What's the purpose of putting it up? I don't understand what he's doing. To that, the Gemara answers, it's just for privacy. Now the one who allows it to be motif on an oil, lamado nami shori, that's both vertical and horizontal. Kidmuchach mamish tefillin, as is muchach, right at the end of this mesecta, towards the end, daf kuf beis. Gabi hamol dichrei, you have these sheep to be a mama bo'utzulot during the day. It's very hot out and very sunny, so they need shade. Ubelelio ba'at night bo'avira, they need air. So what do you do? So what do you want to do? You want to spread out the canopy during the day and remove the canopy at night. Is that a problem of making an oil? So it's going on over there. What you do is you make sure that you always have a tefach still left open. By doing that, then all you're doing is being meisif on an oil arai. That's all right. You can then roll out the rest on Shabbos or Yom Tov. During the day you have it unrolled. At night you just roll it back. Very nogea. We mentioned when it comes to either... Right, sukkah is a classic example. If you've got a roof on your sukkah. So if it's attached to the sukkah, then it's fine anyway. But if it's not attached to the sukkah, you've just got a tarpaulin which you literally just put across, it's not attached in any way to the sukkah, and there's a gap underneath it between the sechach and the tarpaulin, which is a minimum of a tefach, so you've got a shayla of making an oil, right? So the halacha is, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can roll it back and make sure you leave the last tefach, which you probably will normally have. If you roll it all the way back, you've still got a tefach where it all gathers, unless you're taking it off. That's what we were talking about beforehand, yeah. Bubble's not a problem because it's all attached. They're attached. Same on a buggy. If you've got a pram or a buggy, so to open and close the thing, that probably very often you don't have a tefach left open. It doesn't matter because it's attached. If it's broken or whatever it is and it's not attached, then chalami, you can't do it unless you leave a tefach open. Yeah, that's the halacha.
So would you have the same thing if you had a awning that shops have and some people have?
It's attached, normally it's attached.
So you would have
another problem. Okay, that's the sugya in sukkah. Where over there, basically, Rabbi Eliezer was, well, it's not on sukkah. So it was, he was in a sukkah. He was in a hut belonging to Rabbi Yechanan, and it got sunny. That's right. And he kept asking Rabbi Eliezer, "Am I allowed to, put the sheet over to protect you from the sun?" Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to answer, primarily because he never said anything he didn't hear from his rebbe. And in the end, as the sun came closer and closer, so Rabbi Yechon said, "Okay, forget it." And he did it, he passed him for himself and he put it across. So Rabbi Yechon picked up his things and left. Because Rabbi Yechon holds, like here with Pekaka, and Rabbi Yechon's shit is, it's forbidden to be moisif on an oil arai. Right? But those who hold this mutter is because you're being moisif on an existing oil. So to be, as far as Tosfos is concerned, there's no difference between a horizontal one or a vertical one, so long as the vertical one is being matir and iser. Horizontal doesn't make a difference, that's an oil. For vertical, it's a problem if it's matir. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, and we pass like Tosfos, we mentioned halacha lemaisa, lemoshul, to put up a poroches on Shabbos. Al Oran HaKodesh, Mutter also. Mutter. It's not Mutter. So long as it doesn't have an overhang, right, which they don't normally. It's just a vertical thing. You can put up a Poroches. Right? What other examples did we give? We even talked about putting a Mechitza there, to make a Mechitza. They talk about for a shir, as it happened. So between the men and the women, so Rav Moshe holds that that's not a mechitza materes. It's more just a simon to, this should be, you don't need it to be of any real height. I think for davening, he doesn't even have a hetzer. Even though that you think without it is better than an issa to daven without a mechitza.
Rashi would do that, isn't it? Somewhere,
if it's a, those are less problematic because they're already either attached or they're partially open. The shayla would be if you take a sheet and start hanging up a sheet. That's right, because you're putting it across. It's like a curtain. Doesn't matter, because that's already that's like opening and closing a door. It's designed for that. Yeah. Yeah.
The mechitza is on wheels.
If the mechitza is on wheels, if it's tucked and not there at all, that could be more problematic. Again, if it's a mechitza materis you're dealing with, not always a mechitza materis.
Framework.
No, but he's talking about it's literally on wheels, so you bring it from one room to another. In the other room, it's not a mechitza bechlal. So you're now setting up a mechitza. There's nothing here. So I'm building a mechitza from scratch. Let's say that was a sukkah. No, you'd be mutter or awesome.
Possibly,
I mean, you'd be boina. So there's an interesting shadow we mentioned, is let's say, and it is negated to this. Mechitza mater. Is it a mechitza materis? If let's say your sukkah, the third wall is a door. The door, patio door to the garden, which I know Rabbi Kwan spoke many years ago about these sort of things. I'm talking about on Shabbos or Yom Tov to open that door. I'm not talking about whether it makes it possible. It makes it possible. I'm talking about a case where it makes it possible. Are you allowed to open and close that on Shabbos? It's a machlokas. Some say there's no problem because even though you're right, when you open it, you've just destroyed the sukkah, and when you close it, you've just made the sukkah.
If it was a door, it was less than
coming up here.
Yeah.
2 minutes to go.
I'm going to check.
No, don't come up. No,
the door won't.
They're coming up, I'm sure.
They're coming up.